Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, your Ben Jarofsky Show for Wednesday, May 27th is moments away. But before we do this, let's thank these unions for sponsoring this podcast. Unions like the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 in District 8. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9 are sponsors, as well as the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Thanks, unions. And of course, today's Ben Jarofsky Show for Wednesday, May 27th is brought to you by our good friends at the Chicago Federation of Labor. All right, I'm going to look at the live stream chat, and Ben, we'll see what your song of the day is.
I am. Got us get ready.
Okay.
Me. Go ahead.
Our song of the day comes from Fred. Jackie Blue by Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Oh, I know that. Jackie Blue. Jackie. I know you can't tell, Fred, from what I'm doing, but I know that song. It's just, you ever had this moment, Fred, if I could just share this with you, like you hear something in your head, but you can't quite get that sound, the right sound to come out of your mouth. Has that ever happened to you? But Jackie Blue. Jackie Blue. By the way, one of my favorite movies of all time, Jackie Brown.
The Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. It is Wednesday, May 27th.
And live from Ben's attic,
this is The Ben Jarofsky Show. Today on the program, one man and one man only, legendary Chicago journalist, Monroe Anderson. And now your host, Chicago Reader columnist, Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this What the Beep Wednesday. And here's why. So I'm paging through Facebook the other night. Well, last night, to be exact. And what do I see? A post from my dear friend, young Scotty Duff, that really, really, really speaks to me at this moment in time. And this is what he writes. I will now try to do it as clearly and distinctly as Scott Duff would do it. Scott Duff, of course, a host of a radio talk show. And what station is that again, D?
WCPT 820 AM, where facts matter. And here's a fact. They fired Ben.
Facts matter, except about tiffs. Don't talk about them. Anyway, Scott Duff, great comedian, funny guy. He's been on our show as well. This is what he wrote on Facebook. Quote, just sitting here screaming, what the fuck is wrong with people? And how are you doing? Love that bit at the end, D. You know what I mean? Where you could just see Scotty going nuts. What the beep is wrong with you people?
Huh? Are you going to do beep or the F word? Pick one.
Well, I had to read the way he read it, you know. Okay, so I don't know. You know, you still got me like that. I'm like, I can't swear. And I just was telling the guest, was it Amy? I was telling who's going to be your guest later today. Later today, folks. We're dropping that conversation later today. But she, I told her, you know, you could swear on podcasts. And she's like, all right. And she started dropping the F-bomb in preparation. Anyway, Scott, I'm with you. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Okay.
Sorry, Dave. Should we beep that out one more time?
No, please don't.
We have alternatives.
Seriously, please don't.
What the beep is wrong with people? And how are you doing? I love that bit at the end again. You know, you got the rage, the insanity, and then, you know, I'm going to be calm. And I've composed myself, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to be very calm. I'm composed. And I'm just going to go walk on through life as if nothing is wrong. I'm going to follow Scott's advice, you know. What the beep is wrong with you people? And, you know, okay, everything's cool. Everything's calm. And how was your day? Everything okay with you? Okay, very good. So, you know, I think I'll just run through a few points of insanity that have really hit home over the last 24 hours. And part of this is based on, like, last night, really shouldn't have done this, Steve, but last night I was up late reading some of the news events of the day that I had missed. So catching up on things, because, you know, a lot of usually I'm 24 hours behind. Hey, story of my life, 24 hours behind the time. So I'm catching up with everything. And I shouldn't do this because it's late at night. I shouldn't be. I'm doing this on my phone. And as a result, I can't sleep. So I don't know. I'm doing this show today in about 2 hours sleep because I was up late reading all these stories. So I'll run through a few of them. Utter insanity to underscores the point that Scott Duff is making. Just here, sitting here screaming, what the beep is wrong with people? So where do we start? Well, let's start. Let's see. Oh, in no particular order. These are some of the stories that I was reading last night when I was having trouble falling asleep. Melody Cooper. Melody Cooper is the crazy lady out of New York City, the dog walking lady, who had a confrontation with a black man in Central Park. I think it was Sunday. He was a bird watcher. He was bothering absolutely no one. I know everybody has seen the video. Melody Cooper's dog was off the leash, which is a no-no. Anybody knows anything about walking dogs in New York City or Chicago or any city, really? You're not allowed to let the dog run off the leash, okay? So this maniacal woman, Melody Cooper, confronts this man, and somehow or other, in her mind, he's instantly a threat to her. And he's a black man, as I said before. And she says to him, I am going to report to the police that I've been harassed by an African-American man. And she says this to him while he's filming her. So he's got the evidence that supports his point of view, which is that he did nothing wrong and that she's the aggressor and that she's making up something. So he has the evidence of it. And she still thinks she can get away with it. So this, of course, this video has been going all over the internet. People are talking about it. The woman has since lost her job. She's lost her dog. And many interesting articles. This is why I was up late reading all these learned articles by various people talking about the whole history of white women making up accusations against black men. And there is absolutely that racial element to this. I also want to point out one other thing, one other bit of insanity about this story. And this has to do with the craziness of dog people. They're like out of their freaking minds, many of them. And it's like when their dog does something wrong, it's everybody else's fault except their dogs. So there's a little bit of that element in its D, which is makes it almost reassuring in a way. I could tell you many stories of my encounters with dog walkers, particularly a subspecies of the breed that thinks it's cool if their dog is off the leash and their dog like attacks somebody else. Oh, he's really just friendly as the dog knocks over a kid. Oh, it's just his way of showing love. Or then there's the other one. Oh, I've never seen my dog do that before. You know, like boy, the dog is like mauling someone. Anyway, insane time in New York City. Even worse, the policeman in Minnesota who killed George Floyd. This story's been all over the internet. The story's been on the front pages of the paper. I saw the videotape last night. That, I think, may have kept me up late. The police officer, who, as far as I know, has not been identified yet, killed George Floyd by putting his knee on George Floyd's neck. You could see this. So George Floyd was a black man. I'm not quite sure what he did to gain the interest of the police officers, but the police officers, quote unquote, subdued him, which means they handcuffed him and threw him on the ground. So he was absolutely not a threat to anyone. And yet there's this image that I just can't get out of my mind of this cop with his knee on George Floyd's neck as George Floyd is gasping, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And there's two people on the sidewalk saying, help this man, let him go. And the cop's got his hand in his pocket. This is the part that just, it sticks with me. It's like he's so casual. He's got his hand, the cop has his hand in his pocket, like not doing anything, just an ordinary day in Minneapolis. Utter freaking insanity, and the cops have fired. And I know four cops have been let go. Terminated, I think, is what the official statement says from Minnesota. So we're going to be following that story a while. Utter insanity in Minnesota. And then a local level, we talked about this yesterday, just a tad less insane, but I just add it to the list. Mayor Rahm, I'm still thinking about this. I was reading a story about this again last night. I was talking about it to my wife, giving advice to Joe Biden. I was talking to Miles Konflassen. We both agree. Please, Joe Biden, don't listen to what Rahm tells you. One more time. Just, you know, nod along. Maybe you need Rahm, I don't know, to help with fundraisers or Democratic insights. I don't even know why you would need him. But please don't listen to him. His advice now was, Democrats, don't be timid. You know, I just was thinking about this. We talked about this yesterday, but I just think I can't get this out of my mind. Poor J.B. Pritzker is struggling with trying to protect the citizenry of Illinois and placate the open up the state crowd from the Republican Party that is holding rallies denouncing Pritzker. By the way, they hate Pritzker. This is something that has become apparent to me. I was watching a feed of yesterday's Pritzker press conference, and you know you have the live stream, people weighing in. They hate Pritzker. Dennis has told me about this. Some of the he's shown me some of the Facebook messages that people he knows post about Pritzker from downstate. Now, yeah, I get it. They hate Pritzker very much. He has become the epitome in their eyes of everything that's wrong with America today. I don't know why they've decided. Well, I probably many theories why they would blame Pritzker, but they hate Pritzker extremely. So here he is trying to do the right thing, trying to figure out what the right thing is. And it's not always easy to do. He's not a perfect person, as he would tell you himself. He's not batting 1,000, that's for sure. But I do believe he's making a good faith effort to do the right thing and balance the needs of business people who want to open up their businesses, get back to work, people like me who want to get out of this attic and go back to our studios and go back to our regular lives, balance those demands and needs with health concerns. And here's Rahm, don't be timid, like playing into it, like totally cutting off the Pritzkers of the world at the knees. Please, 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 Joe Biden, that's the last guy you should be listening to. Of course, speaking of lunatics in politics, got to be nonpartisan about this. Just ripped a Democrat. Got to bring up my favorite Darren Bailey one more time. He was the state representative from downstate, was in Chicago over the weekend, and he compared Chicago to a wayward child, and sometimes you have to discipline that child. And I'm like, don't spank me, Darren, don't spank me. That was yesterday. We'll bring Darren up.
That was a weird one.
Yeah. What, comparing Chicago to a wayward child?
No, your opener about don't spank me, Darren.
Don't spank me, Darren. Darren the dominatrix. Anyway, we'll get back to Darren in a little bit. That's part of the madness. But then I guess the trophy goes to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has launched, as we all know, this tweet storm, making up stuff about Joe Scarborough. He's got this personal vendetta against Joe Scarborough, the talk show host. D, I still have not seen the show. Got to make that confession. Seen bits and pieces on YouTube. So I really can't comment whether Joe Scarborough has been fair to Donald Trump. I assume it's like everybody else in this country. If you love Trump, you know, you just promote the hell out of him and he loves you back. And if you don't like Trump, then you criticize him and then he hates you back if he thinks you're a worthy opponent. So that's obviously what's going on with Joe Scarborough. Just made up stuff about Joe Scarborough, said he's somehow or other responsible for the death of one of Joe Scarborough's aides when Scarborough was a congressman back in the early part of the century. So Joe Scarborough had nothing to do with the woman's death. He wasn't even in the same city when she died. Everybody is established.
Trump's trying to win over those undecided voters, if you can't tell.
Interesting tactic to win over the undecided voter. I know what I'll do. I'll just make up stuff about a popular TV show host. Stuff that is, there's no evidence whatsoever. I'm just going to just keep repeating it. I think what he's really doing is testing Republicans for their loyalty. You know, you talk about a wayward child who needs to be spanked. Hey, Darren Bailey, why don't you spank Donald Trump? There's a thought for you, D. No word from Darren Bailey on that. He's still upset with the city of Chicago. He's going to spank us, but he's going to leave Donald Trump alone. I've been searching for any Republicans who have something critical to say about Trump about this, one of my favorite topics, the way in which Donald Trump has seized control of the Republican Party, and they all hide under desks. And the only one who I apparently are the most outspoken is Mitt Romney, the senator from Utah, and he's like the one Republican out there who's not afraid to criticize Trump or vote against Trump and, you know, just make it clear that he's got like some shred of credibility. He's not a total puppet. So anyway, the whole issue now is erupting in, should Donald Trump be censored? We're going to talk about Monroe with this. Should Donald Trump, should Twitter kick Donald Trump off? Should they block some of his wackier tweets? All over the place in this one. I was just reading a column by a media, what is he, a media writer, Howard Kurtz. He writes about the media is what I'm saying. And he's sort of a conservative, and he's saying that people have the right, they should have the right to make up their mind whether what the president is saying is factual or not. And, you know, they should just... No attempt whatsoever should be made to censor the president or block his tweets, even if he makes stuff up, even if it's a lie. The people are smart enough to make up their minds about controversial tweets. That's one point of view. And I'm just like really struggling with this one. Is president free to say anything he wants, even if it's a lie, even if it's libelous, even if it leads to deaths, like when the president went out there and started talking about and taking disinfectants to fight the virus? You know, people who are following his advice could lead to death. Should the president be free to say whatever he wants? I'm not quite, you know, I'm basically a First Amendment guy and a free speech guy. But total freedom from Donald Trump to say whatever he wants, the president of the United States, even if it could cause a lot of destruction.
Well, keep in mind, freedom isn't free.
Freedom isn't free. That is true. I'm sure Joe Scarborough is learning that one today. But so we'll probably have, maybe ask Monroe that. Should the president be free to say whatever he wants? Alex Jones got in trouble for doing that with Sandy Hook. He's up to his neck with a libel lawsuit that's been filed against. He's still on the air. He's still doing his show, but he's been through one lawyer. He's on his second lawyer. So, you know, he may ultimately pay the price for just making stuff up and throwing it out there. Anyway, freedom isn't free. Should Donald Trump be free to say anything he wants? I'll tell you what, folks, you know, it's a crazy world out there when the nutty dog walker in New York seems more sane than the president of the United States. We got a great show today. Monroe Anderson will be here. And then we have a long show today. We have a couple bonus interviews we're doing. We got two bonus interviews after this show. Two bonus interviews tomorrow. Two bonus interviews Friday. Dean, we're working hard as we prepare for that week off next week.
There you go. You can download those interviews that we're going to record, by the way, over the weekend.
Yes. Hardest working podcast in the city of Chicago. The Ben Jarofsky Show, operating out of an attic.
I need a break.
Dr. D needs a break, man. Set people, by the way, he's off for a week. Send him some doobies. He could use a little help because you know what they call him downstate? Dr. Doobie with the news.
Hey, guys. Let's find out what's happening in Chicago and or Illinois this afternoon. We begin with our governor's Wednesday plans.
Big problems become big problems when you let small problems sit.
Well, I heard that. And there's a big problem, a brewing downstate. Ben, any guess as to what that could be?
Does it have anything to do with my favorite state rep?
No, it does not.
Oh, I know. What's going on?
Floods!
That's correct.
Yeah. Today, Governor J.B. Pritzker was in Mariposa in the morning to tour their flood preparedness operation along the Illinois River. He'll then be at the Jackie Joyner Kersey Center in East St. Louis for his 2:30 p.m. coronavirus briefing. A press briefing, not at the Thompson Center? Color me out. Surprised.
Yeah. Have you ever been to that center? In East St. Louis?
No. Never really been to East St. Louis. I've drove by it. Never hung out there. From the river to the lake, Crystal Lake, to be more specific, the Republican revolt against the governor continues. Another Illinois conservative has gone public with their beef against one Jeffrey Beauregard Pritzker.
Jeffrey.
Scoot over, John Cabello. Make room, Darren Bailey. Big feller, because State Rep Alan Skillicorn sees that publicity you're all getting, and he wants in on it, too. Republican Illinois State Rep Alan Skillicorn of Crystal Lake announced that he'd begun the process to recall Governor J.B. Pritzker. Skiller Corn claims Pritzker has failed to fix the state's unemployment claims website and has begun an initiative to recall the Democratic governor. According to a news release, call center data obtained by Skiller Corn from Illinois Department of Employment Security for the period of March 2nd through April 28th shows a massive increase in daily calls to the hotline, rising from an average of 6,500 for the first 10 days to almost 370,000, with the number of agents available to answer those calls increasing from a low of 88 to a high of 122. While the daily number of claims processed are touted as progress, what remains unseen is the number of call attempts that go unanswered and online access that errors out. This is according to a news release from Skiller Corn. I have some quotes from Skiller Corn, but Ben, your thoughts before we go forward.
Well, it is overwhelming right now for the state of Illinois to process all the questions, all the applications and answer all the questions. I know quite a few people who've been calling that hotline looking for information. I know quite a few people who are looking for unemployment assistance. They've lost jobs as bartenders. They've lost jobs as waiters and waitresses. And musicians. I know a lot of musicians whose entire livelihood has dried up. Obviously, there's clubs are closed, bars are closed, so they can't play. So, yeah, the hotline is being flooded. And I'll bet you anything. I've not made the call, but I'll bet you anything that Skiller Corn has a point. How about that, D? How fair am I? I'm saying Skiller Corn has a point that the state is not quite prepared to handle the avalanche of calls the last 2 months. Because unemployment was relatively low about 2 months ago. So I'll bet you anything. We should do a test. How long does it take to get an operator on the phone?
Find Ben Jarofsky at the next Skiller Corn rally. My goodness. I never knew you were a Skiller Corn fan.
Neither did I.
Whoa.
But I do know this. It's very frustrating to deal with the bureaucracy. You can't get a response on the phone. And I hear it again. I got the easy life, D. I'm up here in the attic looking out at the alley and the porta potty, and life is good for me, right? I'm not like my poor wife who's constantly on the phone dealing with the state, dealing with the city, trying to get information out about when her shop can open, when the stay-at-home order will be lifted. So I know what it's like to hear this. And by the way, let me just say this before everybody thinks I'm picking on government. Just try getting a bank person. An official with a bank. I've had to do that a few times during this pandemic. And good God, again, it was my wife who did the heavy lifting. But I was sitting in, it was like 45 minutes of listening to music playing, that maddening music that they play. I'm going to torture you right now. Hey, Skiller Corn, there you go. Why don't you go, fire off a letter about corporate America?
After you go to Ben's house and hang out for a few hours, go do that. Ben loves Skiller Corn.
I don't know about that part. You could, go to the alley and I'll wave at you. But, yeah. So it is maddening right now.
Once again, Skiller Corn claiming Pritzker has failed to fix the state's unemployment claims website. We have quotes from Skiller Corn. Skiller Corn said, quote, "Oh, Ben Jarofsky's the man. That's my guy."
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
He said, "Dr. D. I love Dr. Doobie."
Skiller Corn said, quote, "The governor has had ample time to fix this website. I called him out on it, and nothing has been addressed, nor has there been a plan presented to fix the problems." I guess he's got this pandemic thing to worry about. I don't know. But Skiller Corn says, enough is enough. The incompetence cannot continue. An affidavit that is meant to initiate a recall effort must be signed by at least 20 House members and 10 senators. No more than half the signatures from members and senators can be from a single politician party in the prospective chamber. So in the respective chamber. Ben, your thoughts?
Yeah, no more than half of the signers calling for their removal have to be from the God, I'm messing this one up. You have to have at least 15 Democrats. It's not going to happen. So you need 10 Democrats in the House, 5 Democrats in the Senate. I don't think they could get one Democrat to sign that petition. So it's not going to happen. It's a publicity maneuver by Skiller Corn, get some attention to him. And I'll put it this way, man, D. I welcome it. again, I welcome divisions and parties in governments. We have we're supposed to have the check and a balance. So Skillicorn is calling attention to the inability of the state of Illinois to process all the claims or answer all the questions. Then let's have the investigation begin. Let's fix things. You know, he's doing, you could argue he's doing a service. How about that, D? I'm really bending over backwards to say something nice about a Republican in the midst of this pandemic. But to recall Pritzker over this, come on. See, that's the thing about the Republicans, man. I try to bend over backwards and say something nice about him, D. You know, and remember Operation Gridlock? Try to say something nice about Operation, you know, the need to get people back to work, and let's consider businesses that have been shut, and let's give them some kind of reassurance that at least the powers that be are thinking about them. And then they show up at their rallies with Confederate flags and rifles and swastikas. It's like, and MAGA hats. Like, it makes it that much harder to take you seriously. By the way, did you see the pictures of the people in Florida? We didn't talk about that yesterday, did we? Like all the people at the coast of Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as soon as it got nice, apparently with Chicago, I always talk about this in Chicago. We'll probably get in the lorry in the lakefront. You know, as soon as the first nice day, everybody in Chicago flocks to the lakefront. Apparently the mayor didn't know that, did he? So it happens, obviously, in the state of Florida. Some nice days over Memorial Day. Thousands of people flocking to the beaches. No social distancing. Not a lot of masks out there. Everybody next to each other. This, that. I'm like, you know, not a lot. I didn't see anybody. You know, I thought everybody was so busy worried about work. Obviously, the pandemic hasn't hurt them that hard. You know what I'm saying? And like not being without jobs hasn't hurt them that hard. Have we got time to go to the beach?
Oh, it was Memorial Day.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, man.
It was
man.
A holiday.
You know, I'm just saying that the Republicans are going around saying our country's been destroyed. Our freedom has been taken away. You know, nobody can make a livelihood. Everybody is, the cure is worse than the disease. Didn't seem like the cure or the disease was bothering anybody on that beach, D.
They all looked like they were in their 20s. They're young. Guys, who's surprised? Young people are stupid.
I don't know.
Who's surprised?
Just saying, you know, freedom ain't free.
That's all the news has been lately. Just people like a party. They're young. There's yes, guys, that's going to happen.
I saw not everybody was that young. Just don't throw the young people. Look, I'm defending young people now. You know, there were a lot of wayward children out there who needed to be spanked, D. And where was Darren Bailey to do the spanking?
All right, moving on. Time to talk city news. No.
Wait, we're not done with the recall? Wait, there's no more recall. I just wanted to finish up.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
Just finish up the thought. It got a story for him, so I guess it worked. But I have a feeling not one Democrat will sign this recall petition. I saw Pritzker's response. Did you see Pritzker's response to their claims? He blamed it all on Bruce Rauner. Okay? If Rauner had funded government, we'd have more people to answer the phones. So. Rauner's gone, but not forgotten, at least by J.B. Pritzker.
All right, let's talk some city news here. No public events listed for our Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot this afternoon. Ben, it's a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. Any ideas as to what the mayor is up to today?
She's strolling along the lakefront, making sure that everything's cool, that she can't, still can't open it. No, I'm just kidding. No more lakefront jokes. I hope she's working on phase three? Is that where we're at? I've lost count of which
phase.
Phase three.
The rest of Illinois will be in phase three after May 29th. We're kind of, you know, well, there's millions of people in the city, so understandably, we're kind of hanging back a bit in phase two.
Well, that's what she's doing. She's preparing. I know a lot of people wish she would prepare a little faster, that's for sure. So what you got for her?
We have a follow-up on the statement that officially made me, honestly, not a fan of our Chicago mayor.
We will shut you down. We will cite you, and if we need to, we will arrest you, and we will take you to jail.
Yes, the time she threatened to arrest regular people who did nothing but not socially distance. We have a follow-up. This comes from Block Club Chicago. Despite the mayor's claim that police have enforced social distancing equally across Chicago, data is showing, and hang on to the wheel, guys, if you're driving, all right? I don't want to shock anybody and cause a wreck here. Data shows almost all arrests and citations for congregating have been issued on the city's south and west sides.
Yeah, big surprise there.
All 13 arrests and 11 of the 13 citations have been issued in majority Black and Latino neighborhoods on the South and West Side. This is according to public records obtained by Block Club Chicago. Between March 20th and May 21st, 13 people were arrested for violating the stay-at-home orders. 10 were Black, 1 was white, 2 were juveniles whose race and arrest reports were withheld. 13 others received citation. Of those, 11 were located in majority-minority neighborhoods on the South and West Sides. Detailed reports and demographic information were not provided for the citations. Critics have accused Chicago police of disproportionately enforcing social distancing guidelines on the South and West Sides. In a tweet over the weekend, Chance the Rapper. Ben, what's your favorite Chance the Rapper song?
Acid Rap.
Hey, there you go. You knew one. He said...
Wait, did you know that one?
Yeah, he okay. said he saw hundreds of people at Millennium Park who were failing to social distance but did not face arrests or fines. We have a quote from Chance himself, and it doesn't rhyme. This is just a regular quote. It says, "Please stop sending large groups of militarized police into our neighborhoods exclusively." In response, Mayor Lightfoot denied there's been more enforcement in Black communities. Let's see here. We have a quote from Mayor Lightfoot. She says, quote, "The reality is the Chicago Police Department is active and engaged all over the city and doing it with an eye toward equity. And I would have it no other way as a mayor of this city. I can tell you, based upon the statistics that we've been keeping for weeks, those dispersal orders are happening all over the city. And yes, in white areas, in Latinx areas, in moneyed areas of the city as well."
Well, we know that the history of Chicago on this front is not a good one, D. We talked for a long time, wrote many articles. My dear friend Mick Dumpke and I wrote many articles back in the day about the unfair ratio, imbalance, if you will. More Black people get busted for reefer than white people, even though everybody smokes it. So we know that we kind of have a tradition. Remember when Troy LaRavier came on the show? God, we have to have him back. It's been a while. But he came on the show to talk about tickets for bicycle offenses, people violating various rules of the road for bike riding. Remember that, D? And far more tickets were written in Black neighborhoods than white neighborhoods. And then there's some, it was in the old days, we were on the radio, and some guy called up. And then he started, remember he started talking about black-on-black murder? He got so outraged at Troy for, by the way, it wasn't even, Troy was citing a story that was in the Tribune about that they did the deep dive talking about like the number of people who got tickets for bike violating the bike riding rules in Lincoln Park as opposed to Lawndale. So yeah, this is, this is a historical trend in the city of Chicago. So I'm not surprised to see that it continues with the enforcement for social distancing. I just point out, as I said earlier, I'm going to just point out that there were thousands and thousands of people on the beaches of Florida. Dennis says they're all young. All right, I'll concede that point for the moment. So in other words, it's not just people on the west and south side of Chicago who are going stir crazy and violating the stay-at-home rules or violating social distancing. It's across the board, but apparently it's folks on the south and west side of Chicago who are getting the most tickets. I'm going to say something in defense of Lori Lightfoot, D. They did break up the protest at Buckingham Fountain that took place on Memorial Day. The MAGA hat crowd with Darren Bailey, that one where he said he compared Chicago to a wayward child who needs to be punished. So the police finally broke that one up after a while because they weren't even pretending to be following social distancing. So, you know, there is evidence that other people have been ticketed or other groups have been asked by the police to disperse. But good job by Black Club on that story.
All right, it goes on here. Block Club has requested the number of dispersals of groups per police district. Chicago police did not respond to a request for comment. In the early days of the stay-at-home order, dispersals were heavily concentrated on the west side. On March 29th, police reported 89 dispersals of groups in the Harrison district. Former police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi probably butchered that one. The next highest number of dispersals on that day was 4 dispersals in the Austin area. Both police districts are on the city's west side. In an effort to reduce loitering on the west side in April, Chicago police stationed officers at four west side crime hotspots, asking people to show ID. Only people who lived on the blocks there were allowed to enter, which the American Civil Liberties Union said was a violation of constitutional rights. Lightfoot previously said she personally toured the city, urging people to return home if they weren't taking proper precautions. In such effort, in which she confronted a group of teenagers on the west side, became a viral video and prompted broader questions about how Lightfoot was using police to enforce the stay-at-home order on the south and west sides.
Yeah, that was the video. We talked a lot about that, where she, the young fellas were playing basketball, and she came up to them and said, chastised them, told them to leave, and said they were in danger of infecting their mamas and their grandmamas. And and Lori Lightfoot, she's not backing down. She says that she's looking out for the best interests of Chicago. And I pointed this out many times. I do believe there is a political divide that's emerging on this point. I'll put it this way. On the north side of Chicago, she's very, very popular. I could just give one personal example. There was a Facebook chat about hairdressers. My wife's a hairdresser. And one of the hairdressers was irritated that Lori Lightfoot has not been quicker in terms of letting the businesses know when they can reopen. And immediately a Northside salon owner came in and said, she's got a lot on her plate. Leave her alone. She's doing a great job. It's just like this instinctive reaction. And I think, you know what? It just says so much about Chicago on this one. Because people on the north side they're accustomed to the city working for them. They're accustomed to a certain rules, and if you call the police will respond, and they'll be more or less respectful, and you won't have troubles. They're used to the city being at their command almost. There's a sense of entitlement on the north side. I'm not putting north siders down. I live on the north side. I'm not hating on north siders. I think people should have a sense of entitlement from the government. I'm just saying it's pretty pronounced on the north side of Chicago. So when Lori Lightfoot says that for your safety, you have to stay indoors and I'm going to enforce these rules, Northsiders think, yeah, she's looking out for us. There's just a sense that the city works for them. It's not widespread prevailing view, that's for certain. It's not as strong a view, I believe, on the south or west sides, a sense of the city works for those neighborhoods. The city works for the people who live in those neighborhoods. So that's sort of a split in Chicago that Lori Lightfoot has inherited. And she's sort of the beneficiary of that, at least on the north side. Like I said, you go on the north side, and people love her. But Dee, I got to tell you this. This is the other thing.
Tell me.
This is something else I saw on Facebook.
What is it? What is it? I'm dying to know. What? What is it?
For all the talk in the north side of Chicago about how people are really, they support Lori and they believe in stay-at-home orders and social distancing and stuff. There's a lot of people walking around the street. They got the mask around their necks, but they don't pull the masks up. Have you noticed this one? It's like a look now. Yeah. But okay, we're in our attic. I'm talking about walking into a UPS store or a post office or a CVS, a drugstore or the Jewel, you know? I'm like, what is it? Like, do you think you're Destry? You know what I mean?
Oh, I can't wait till this thing is over. Yeah. Everybody just judging each other on if they're wearing a mask or not.
Well, I mean, it's like, why have the mask around your neck?
They may have forgot. That's happened to me. Like, I wear a little scarf, little gator thing, and I'll go somewhere and I'll go, oh crap, my mask, I gotta put it. It's all just right. So annoying.
You put it up there, right?
Sometimes I forget though.
North side's not perfect either, okay? But nobody's writing up tickets in the UPS store or the CVS. Good, that's good. I'm with you, D. You can over-enforce this thing.
All right, everybody, we encourage all of you to reach out to us. Send us a message. Let us know what's on your mind. You hanging in there? Got any suggestions of things to watch? Ben's always looking for new stuff to watch. That Bulls thing's over. Holy cow, he's desperate right now, guys. Right?
Yeah, and I can't watch the last Bulls game because I got the the bogus ESPN. So yeah, I'm.
He's got the big lots ESPN apparently. Yeah. Why can't you watch the last dance?
No idea. I try to watch it, and the machines just said, "Sorry, you have to have a different ESPN service." I forget what, some bureaucratic jargon. I should have had Skillicorn make a phone call on my behalf. You know, heads will roll. Well,
he is your boy, so I mean, he could have done it. Oh, Ben, sure thing, man. Let me get over here.
I think that's more of a Darren Bailey imitation. So I'm looking for some coming down the end of Schitt's Creek, and
down the end of Schitt's Creek, guys. Yeah. What a metaphor! No, feel free to send suggestions in to the Ben Jarofsky Show. You can reach us in several ways. You can send us an email at BennyJShow or BENNY the letter J Show at gmail.com. That's what it is, BennyJShow at gmail.com. You can find us on social media at BennyJShow, BENNY the letter J Show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Ben, how's the Instagram account going, by the way?
Booming. I haven't put up for a while. I got to put something up. I'm going to take a picture of you with your mask on and put that up there. Oh, get cool. A lot of hits.
Do it. Do it. And also, you can call us. That's right. We have a phone number, guys. Reach out to us. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us what's on your mind. What's the number? Well, it's a 708 number. Turns out 773 and 312, all of them are taken. Every single number with that area code's taken. So we have a 708 number. You can reach the Ben Jarofsky Show, 708-658-4788. 708-658-4788. And obviously, if you're listening live, you can weigh in on the Ben Jarofsky Show live stream chat. But Ben, we have a voicemail. That's right. I listened to this, and this is from Matt. Matt, I think he used to listen to us on the radio, before you were fired. The good days. Not really that great. But anyway, Matt weighed in. He left us a voicemail here. He wants to cover two things here. I think he wants to talk about J.B. Pritzker, Lori Lightfoot, and the whole quarantine situation. Matt, let her rip, buddy. You guys could do the same. 708-658-4788. Hey, Matt.
Hi. Hello, Ben. Let's cover two things today. Number one, I am a former student of Francis W. Parker School, and I have to tell you that while I do not agree with their methods of how they went about trying to secure the property to the north of them, I will say that they are very good people, typically. They're just good people all around. They're very nice. Not everybody's hoity-toity there. So.
All right, I'm going to pause it there. Anything you'd like to say?
Well, we talked about that last week. Okay, just to help people out who missed that story. I used to write stories like this all the time, Dee. Back in the days, I did neighborhood news and would write about spats between neighborhoods so many times. Like almost like my beat was the divorce beat. I've been writing about divorces, get in the middle of one of those. And this was a dispute between Francis Parker, as the gentleman says. I said, he didn't say it this. It's one of the most exclusive private schools in the city of Chicago, on the north side of Chicago, roughly Clark and Belden, around there, around Fullerton, just south of Fullerton. And they want to expand their campus. And in order to expand their campus, they want to buy a building that's just down the street or across the street, very close by. But the people who, it's a condo building, the condo owners don't want to sell. So what's been happening, according to the condo owners, is that Francis Parker has got straw buyers offering people, making an offer that people can't refuse. People sell their condos, and guess what? Sooner or later, Francis Parker, according to this lawsuit that was filed, will have a controlling share of all the condos in the building, and therefore they will be able to force a sale to themselves. How about that? That's a pretty slick move. So it was kind of like a... it was a pretty slick move, Francis Parker. And I was merely pointing out that Francis Parker has a reputation down through the years as being like progressive in terms of its educational ideology and its outlook of toward education and how you have to be holistic in what you teach kids, and you have to have small classrooms, and you have to like read to kids, or how would Joe Biden put it, Dee?
Where am I?
So, you know, I was just pointing that out for a progressive, forward-thinking school. That was pretty cutthroat, all right? You know what I'm saying? It was a pretty Chicago-style politics. So I don't know if I was really disparaging about everybody that sends their kids there. It's an expensive school. There's no doubt about it. It's like 40 G's a year tuition for the grammar school. Just add that up. If a kid goes there for the full 12 years. So that's a pretty cutthroat move by Francis Parker so that they learn a few things in addition to the progressive tenets of their leaders, their educational leaders. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you discuss that in a civics class? That was just the question I was raising, right? I mean, if you're a history teacher, Francis Parker, the civics teacher, how do you discuss this particular maneuver, which has resulted in a lawsuit being filed by their neighbors? You know, so that's the background.
I love frozen parsnips. That's how Biden would respond. No, Francis Parker. Huh? Who said that? All right, Matt continues.
Okay.
That being said, they did the dirty. They did a bad thing. So they should get punished for it. Now, on to Biden. Biden. Can somebody please tell him to just shut up? Oh, my God. He cannot. My God. If he could just not say anything stupid until after November, we're okay. Just stop him from talking. Just stop it. Stop Biden from saying anything. Because we cannot afford another 4 years of this moron in the White House.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's a lot in there, embedded in there. He's articulating, whether he realizes it or not, the Charles Blow theory. Charles Blow, a columnist for the New York Times, just wrote this column in the aftermath of Joe Biden's latest gaffe, the "you ain't black" comment he made on the Breakfast Club radio show last week. We talked a lot about it. And so Charles Blow's theory is that Joe Biden will win this election in November against Donald Trump if he just, as Matt suggests, shuts up, just disappear. And it's a really curious strategy that Matt and Charles Blow, so Matt is not alone in this one, that they're espousing. In other words, just disappear. It sort of runs counter to all the tenets of conventional politicking in the United States. You know, you want your candidate to be up front. You want your candidate to be dominating the news. You want your candidate to be getting his or her message out constantly, you know, to seize the opportunity, to be on people's minds, to just sort of imprint himself or herself on their brain so they think this guy or this woman is the person I want to vote for and lead this country. But the Charles Blow Matt theory is that, no, Joe Biden should just shut up and disappear because every time he opens up his mouth, he just causes trouble for himself. Now, this, I had my struggles with Joe Biden, as everybody knows, and part of the reason was that he has a problem when he opens his mouth. He says something stupid and that, you know, he has to backtrack from. So I'm just saying, I kind of told you so.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
That's correct.
Mueller weighs in. I like the other one better, though. What was the other one? Talk to your kids or whatever. I remember David Ferris and I trying to unpack that one. On the other hand, all right, Matt, I'm just going to throw this theory at you. And Charles Blow, I'll throw this theory at you. There are those, and I think Monroe may weigh in on this one coming up. There are those who believe that there's something charming about Joe Biden.
Well,
that
they ain't something in this room or this house.
There's not a lot of Joe Biden fans in this house. That there's something, oh, that's just Joe being Joe. Okay, you know, there are those people who like that. That's real. You know, and I got to tell you, Matt, I just wrote a story for the Reader. It's out. I put it on Facebook. I was chastising Barack Obama and saying I wish Barack Obama was a little more like Michael Jordan. And I was urging the Democrats to be like Mike. Michael Jordan's on my mind these days because of The Last Dance. And Michael Jordan, as depicted in The Last Dance, was a cutthroat competitor who never let a good grudge go to waste. He collected grudges down through the years. If people said something that he found remotely critical or
that sounds healthy,
offensive, he would use it as motivation destroy them when he got to them on the basketball court. It's not a very becoming trait in a human being. It's not one that says, God, I really want to be friends with you. Like, for instance, Michael Jordan has not, he's cut off Charles Barkley. They used to be really good friends back in the day from when they were both playing in the NBA. They were both on the Dream Team. But Charles Barkley is a commentator on TV, said something critical.
Oh, come on, that's terrible.
Said critical. Said Michael Jordan's basically his managerial style is terrible. He's done a bad job as running the Charlotte Hornets. And Jordan got so mad he hasn't talked to him since. He had the same thing. He cut off Sports Illustrated. He got mad with a critical headline that Sports Illustrated ran, and he hasn't talked to them since. So he holds grudges, and he never lets them go. Barack Obama, on the other hand, has ample reason to hold a grudge against Donald Trump. Donald Trump has just made... Before he was making up stories about Joe Scarborough, he's making up stories about Barack Obama. He's tried to gut almost every single one of Obama's initiatives, including his most important one, the health care initiative, Obamacare. He's trying to destroy that as we speak. And yet Barack Obama holds back on criticizing Trump. And so even last week when he was finally critical of Trump, he wouldn't even name Trump. So I was saying, you know, I wish the Democrats would be more forceful and confront Trump. When Trump says these outrageous things about Democrats, I do believe that Americans like a fighter, and so they would respect that. So it's kind of a counter view. You know, the Charles Blow Matt view is just disappear, Joe Biden, till after the election. Don't even show up. Don't talk. Don't say anything. And I don't buy it. Listen, the Democrats thought it was a good idea to nominate this guy. There was aspects to Joe Biden that most people in the Democratic Party thought were appealing, not the least of which was the fact that he was Barack Obama's wingman for 8 years. So this is your candidate, Democrats. You got to put up with him saying stupid stuff or, you know, stumbling over his tongue. If you're just going to compare the stupid things that Trump says to the stupid things that Joe Biden says, I think Trump is... defeating Biden in that category.
Well, what do you say we do that?
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone, make sure the kids hear words.
Okay, that's my favorite. Make sure the kids hear words.
So that was Biden. Yeah. And now we'll play our president, a silly statement from him, like this one.
And I tested very positively in another sense. So negative. This morning, yeah, I tested positively toward negative, right? So, no, I tested perfectly this morning. Meaning I tested negative.
Yeah, I tested positively toward negative or whatever. And then I like the guy in the background yells out negative. I don't know who that guy was. A helpful, President Trump, hey, say something nice about reporters. The guy was helping you. Negative. You tested negative. I tested positively toward negative. So, you know, it's kind of it's neck and neck there. You know, and by the way, it's funny. The Republicans think this is their winning point for them. So they think every time Joe Biden says something stupid, if they put that out there, that'll win over swing voters. You know, that's they promoting that. So they have this whole series of clips of Joe Biden saying stupid things. And
which may work if Donald Trump wasn't like tweeting about Joe Scarborough and all that crazy nonsense.
It's kind of hard, you know, to accentuate the stupid things that Joe Biden says from time to time when the leader of your party says them every hour on the hour. Okay, so it's like the standards are so low. In this country right now, the bar is so low on insanity and crazy things, you know. You know, Joe Biden kind of makes sense when he, you know.
Like Trump, man, you got to win over those people that are, I mean, I hope you don't, but you got to win over those people who are in the middle of the road, man. Like, I don't know if talking about Joe Scarborough and an intern's really going to.
No, she wasn't even an intern. She was an aide. But yes, making up stuff about Joe Scarborough, accusing Joe Scarborough of something that he did not do. And it, even in the face of the widower of the woman who died, begging you not to do it is, I would say, not a winning ticket for this upcoming election. But D, there's the other theory, of course, the Dennis theory, which is that people lie to pollsters. And so there's the possibility that a majority of voters in swing states, and this is coming down to swing states, because again, doesn't matter if Joe Biden wins more votes than Donald Trump, the way we determine who got a president. So if a majority of the voters in those swing states like Trump's style, like it when he makes up stuff about people who he accuses of crimes that don't even exist, if a majority of people like that, he's going to be rewarded regardless of what you or I think, or regardless of what Matt thinks. And so, you know, it, what Joe Biden said is doesn't matter then. When you think about it, it's irrelevant. If people like Trump, if they like his style, they're going to vote for him anyway. And it doesn't matter what Joe Biden says. So, listen, the Democratic Party has said, Ben, we like Joe Biden. He's the most electable person. Guess I got to go with him, D.
You guys see what just happened there? A guy sent us a voicemail. And we got like 10 minutes of content out of it, all right? Be like Matt. Send us a voicemail, 708-658-4788. You can leave your name. It can be a fake name. It can be your real name. You don't have to leave a name. You can do whatever you want. Just call the Ben Jarofsky Show. Leave us a voicemail. I'm going to listen to it first. And if it isn't insane, well, good insane. Well, if it's bad insane, I'm not going to play it. If it's good insane, I'm definitely going to play it. How about that?
I thought that was a good voice message.
I agree.
I thought it was good. And defending Francis Parker. You know, there are some good people at Francis Park. There are some good people who are really ashamed of the school. What a tactic, huh? Good message from Adam.
708-658-4788. BennyJShow@gmail.com. Michael Girardi, I got your email. I need to read it, though. So I'll let you know the answer there shortly. Also, at Benny J Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Ben's in charge of the Instagram. I do the Facebook and Twitter. Reach out to us, and we will respond. And that is our local news. Ben, anything you'd like to say here before we roll on with Mr. Monroe?
No, Monroe Anderson is about to come on. We're going to talk about Joe Biden and Ain't Black, his Ain't Black comment. We're going to talk about what happened in Minnesota. Biden and the masks and Trump and the masks. It's fascinating. The politics of wearing a mask. Lots of political talk with Monroe Anderson. He's fired up to talk Trump, and more Trump. We'll be right back.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.